Jesus came to do a preparatorial work at a crucial time in Earth's history. Planned from creation, this work was critical for the future. Christ lent full scope and meaning to Old Testament holy days given to a special people. They were chosen out of captivity and led by Him to a place taken from the heathen and given to His own. We need but a cursory study of these Old Testament times to know that these people were indeed a stiff-necked, hard, obstinate lot who fought, complained throughout the whole pilgrimage journey. In Deuteronomy, in chapter 9, starting in verse 1, Moses is speaking to these people on the eve of their taking possession of the lands that were taken. Moses says, "Hear, O Israel, you are to pass over Jordan this day and to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fenced up to heaven." Verse 2, "A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom you know, and of whom you have heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak?" And Moses tells them, God tells them, understand therefore this day that the Lord your God is He which goes over before you. As a consuming fire, He shall destroy them, and He shall bring them down before your face. You shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto you. And number 4, verse 4, so very important. "Speak not you in your heart after that the Lord your God has cast them out from before you, saying, 'For my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land,' but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord does drive them out from before you." So important, he says it again. "Not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart do you go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord your God does drive them out from before you, and that He may perform the word which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And third time's a charm. Wasn't enough for these people. He's going to say it again. "Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God gives you not this good land to possess it for your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people." A lesson they had a very short memory on. He said this to them. Their fathers had died in the wilderness in the 40 years of complaining. They brought the prophecy on their own heads. "Therefore has the Lord brought us out into this wilderness to slay us. So much so they had done this that only their children and 2 loyal scouts were to enter that land. All through the remainder of their history, this tribe of people became a law unto themselves, taking what God gave Moses and His laws in holy times and adding their own sayings to make what was called the tradition of the elders." Stephen, recalling this history at his trial before the sons of these elders, recounted that journey. It ended with these hearing him being convicted in their hearts and minds of the hypocrisy they owned. No longer able to bear truth spoken so strongly by Stephen with fullness of the Spirit, they ended it by stoning Stephen, making him one of the first of many of God's faithful martyrs in New Testament times. In a few days, we are to commemorate what it was that made the difference in this New Testament people and allowed them the help that they needed to accomplish what they were born to do. Title of this message is Helper and Comforter. The words come to light in New Testament times as spoken by Jesus himself. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." John 15 and verse 26, Jesus goes on to say, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." John 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you." The definition of comforter from Webster's Dictionary. Number one, when capitalized, it equates to the Holy Spirit. Number two, one who gives comfort. The free dictionary definition is a person who comforts or relieves people of anxiety or allays fears. In Greek, it is parakletos, meaning advocate or a kind of friend. An advocate is one who is summoned to the side of another to help in a court of law by defending him. Romans 8 and verse 27. "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." It is worthy to notice that although Paul nowhere uses the word parakletos, he yet presents the idea it embodies when he speaks of the intercession both of Christ and of the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 34. "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." The word parakletos refers to Christ. When time came that Jesus had finished the work that his Father had sent him to do, Jesus spoke to his chosen on the eve of his impending death. Heaviness filled the air on this occasion, and with his parting words, Jesus gave the encouragement for the days to come. We read of this in John 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I heard from my Father I have made known to you. John 15, verse 26, he speaks further. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds forth from the Father, he will testify of me. And verse 27, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. God and Jesus, his Son, had a plan from before creation. God could have short-stopped that plan at any time and brought what we know as his kingdom to this earth. He chose not to do so for a very specific reason. He was working a new work on earth. He was building a people he could trust to obey him, knowing what he, as God, knew, choosing as God had to, not to leave that plan, choosing to keep the commands that gave life, life eternal, learning to depend on that part of God which gave the missing element that doomed their forefathers to failure from time and again, learning the hard way that the flesh profits little or nothing. It was to be accomplished by the Spirit of God and no other way. That missing element in the disciples' lives is what opened up the starting of the church and its growth since that first Pentecost day. The church was young, and it was growing like a wild weed, seemingly just the way God wanted it. Awakened to that power Jesus had promised them is what brought the things that they held in common. They shared with singleness of heart. They also fought to grow, and grow in grace and knowledge. They did. They did. They spoke things which became sound doctrine. And they went forward with the promise of their Creator that death would never triumph over them. We are the inheritors of that promise, brethren. We are the in line of saints chosen of God to learn that he alone is the eternal. He alone is the life giver. He alone is the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus said when here on his pilgrimage that he could do nothing without his Father. He could do nothing without his Father. How much more do we fit that mold? It will be by that Spirit, that promise from on high, that we go forward. We have been called his friends, no longer servants alone, who know not what their master does. Let us, as Pentecost nears, determine to pick up the baton of truth and carry it forward onto eternity. 2 Corinthians 1 and in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by.